Now, broadcasting on Radio Star Worldwide, it's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Bart Rademacher.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, prescription for your transformation, real people, real conversations, and real success. And today is another special day where I get to talk to you about my own stuff. I think once in a while it's really important that I do get to share all that. And today is also a special celebration for myself simply because I've come up with some pretty amazing distinctions that I'm excited to share. And it's really because of all the incredible work that I do with all these amazing coaches. And so it's interesting when we talk about coaching and how many people are so critical about coaching today. And you watch TV programs and there's so much, you know, criticism about these people out there and what they're doing. And perhaps some of it might be legitimate. Some of it may really be very appropriately placed, but that's with any kind of profession. But what I find interesting is that the people that are so critical of it are mostly those people that are really stuck and they're not even aware of the fact that they're stuck. And they're also unwilling to do something about it. So today is about that. Today is about what is this whole area of coaching, but more importantly, you know, what's the area of possibility or dreaming that you have right in front of you that's waiting for you? What's possible for you? And so today is about, are you ready to dream? And so I want to thank Sedona once again. I missed you last week. We had some interesting things happen. Did that get all sorted out?
Yes, we actually had a car accident down like on the bottom level, and so it knocked out a hub, and so we were down from the internet for a while, but we did get it all sorted out.
Okay, so I just lost your volume there, so I don't know if it's me or it's you, but somehow I'm not hearing you, and I'm just making sure it's not me.
Can you hear me okay now? Something?
No, you're off. Something happened there, and I can't hear you. Let's see what's going on here. Well, anyhow, you can hear me okay?
Yep.
Oh, now I can hear you again. All right, great. So well, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad to be able to be broadcasting again. This is actually a great privilege for me, really, to share my views, but more importantly, to tap into what I call that collective wisdom, you know, from all these amazing people that I get to interview, and it's only going to get better over time. Because tapping into that collective wisdom is also creating that space for generative collaboration. It's that space where we can all learn and work together to make a better future and world for all of us. Rather than finding everything that's wrong with it, really finding out what's also right with it. You know, just like Tony Robbins likes to say it oftentimes is, you know, what's right is always, what's wrong is always available to you, but also so what is right. And this is all about what's right, what's positive, where is that possibility for all of us? And so you have to wonder, you know, what happened to the dreams? What happened to your dreams? You know, we all dream at some point. I mean, even daydreaming counts. Wishing and wanting is also that socially acceptable part of dreaming. But too often, we're actually told that we should not. And that actually started off when we were children. You know, kids have these magnificent imagination, you know, thinking that they can solve all the problems in the world. And I was one of those. And then we're told that we can't. And when you think about it, if you're rational, start looking into what is that all about? You know, sometimes we actually do need to be somewhat practical. Sometimes, you know, or in other words, every system has its own logic or its rules. And sometimes dreaming just doesn't have its place in that. And I remember back in school, and interesting enough, I was a very young writer. When I was 12 and 13, I think my mom recognized that I was this amazing writer, and I just thought it was normal. But I had a lot of fun doing it. And so I would start writing and writing poems and and kind of capturing my thoughts and my feelings, because it was my way to actually process the world around me. I just didn't want to accept the status quo. I didn't want to just simply accept, you know, what other people were telling me. It's something that I actually had to process. And the best way that I was able to do that is through my writing. But then I had a very rule-driven English teacher who said, look, you know, you need to get serious. You need to just do the work and then learn the grammar, and then you could start writing. And I didn't do that, and so perhaps I'm not as good of a writer as I could be. And oftentimes I find that my grammar, especially on a word, is correcting it all the time. So, but the point is, is that I chose to continue to dream. And even if it didn't seem too practical, it was the right thing for me as well. But here's the other part when people tell you that you shouldn't dream. And other times it's their personal judgment, it's their personal limiting belief that they want to impose upon you. And so you've got to decide for yourself, you know, are you dreaming enough? And when you have those dreams, you know, I recently heard something on Facebook. It was some speech that was given by some celebrity, and says, you know, don't dream big. You know, because if you dream big, you're just not going to get it, and you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. And I think when people do that, they stay in that arena of smallness. Yeah, you can achieve your goals and achieve your small dreams, but that's not how things really have advanced so quickly in our world today. Is people imagine things that other people can't. They are dreaming big, and they're simply going after it. So depending on the internal dialogue that you have, whether you agree with their comments and their dissent against those dreams, then you're going to make a decision as to what it is that you're going to do next. And in my case, back in school again, right, you know, all rule-driven, everybody telling you what you can and can't do, and all these people are experts as to who you are, what's possible. And I'm sure you find that, you know, oftentimes in your case, Sedona, and I'm going to ask you after after my story, is that I love biology. Biology was so much fun for me. And I actually had done an aptitude test, you know, beforehand, you know, when I was 13. And I had clever parents. They really were, you know, gearing me up for a successful future, even if I had no interest and desire when I was 13. I was just dreaming, I guess. And it was between becoming a vet or a doctor. And so obviously I had this innate desire, you know, or interest, if you will, about biology. And so in biology, I had so much fun. And I thought I was really good at it. And then my professor said, you know what, forget being a doctor. Forget applying, you know, to medical school, because you'll never be a good doctor. And so one day I hope to meet Mr. Mendelsohn from Atlantic College way back when. Hopefully he's listening to this, and letting him know that, you know, I'm at the top of the medical field and doing some pioneering work in stem cell therapy. So there you go. And so what happened there in my particular case, it was the drive to overcome that dissent from others, that criticism from others, to prove them wrong. And so sometimes having those people tell you that you can't do something is the very thing that you need. But it also depends on that internal dialogue. And so that's what coaching is all about. This is what today is really also about, is understanding, you know, what it is that motivates us. What is it that drives us? What is it that, you know, you look at certain people, and I'll get back to you in a second, Sedona. You look at certain people, and I was reminded of this by my coach the other day, because, you know, we're working with my limiting beliefs about my success. But you look at some people and you think to yourself, you know, these people have every reason to be totally successful in life. They've got the education, they've got the resources, they've got the money, they've got the background, they have the connections, and they can't do squat. They just simply don't get anywhere. And they're very intelligent too, mind you. And then you have those others that you think to yourself, and you're scratching your head, you're wondering, how is this actually possible? How can these people be so uber successful at the young age of 22 or 23? And you would never believe that can actually happen. So it really has to do with that internal dialogue. And that's the wonderful world about coaching, is really getting dialed into that part of you that that really wants to dream, wants to think big, has the vision, has a compelling future, and helping you figure out that what that is. So my question for you, Sedona, talking about how people prevent you from moving forward, you know, what's been your experience? Because one thing I like about you, Sedona, is you think big. You've got these lofty ambitions, and I respect that. And that's awesome. But not everyone has that because they've been stopped in their tracks. So has that ever happened to you, and what did you do about it?
In my experience, there haven't been too many times where people say that.
I lost you again. I'm not sure.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there really hasn't been that many times that people have told me no. I definitely have had really, really good professors that encourage us to keep going and do what we want. And there have definitely been some counselors that have said maybe you're taking on too much, but they've never stopped me from doing what I wanted.
That's awesome. But that's not always true. And obviously you've got a great dad, because we talked about your dad before and how he's amazingly supportive. And that's what I find interesting in all the things that we want to do in life, is that we actually do need that support system around us to really help us, you know, create the magic that we desire in life, to create the reality of our dreams in our life, because it's that environment that's conducive to that, you know, for you. I mean, obviously, if the environment isn't, you still can overcome that, but it's so much easier when you have that. And so my work has a lot to do with inspiring others to dream again. And fortunately for me, I finally crystallized that concept over years and years of the work that I've been doing. And it's been a long journey, living in, you know, two different continents, five different countries, 35 years of education, and then 17 of which have been in the medical field. And part of what was critical about my life, my journey, is I never stopped learning. I never stopped that curiosity. I never stopped looking for more, and oftentimes would be criticized for that, even, you know, with my partners at that time. I can remember one particular partner who said, you know what, you're never going to be happy because you're always looking. And I took that personally oftentimes, and sometimes I would stop and think to myself, well, is this person actually right? But fortunately, I never really stopped for long because I kept on looking. And what's important in my personal journey, my personal story, is the experience of residency. And residency in any country, you know, medical residency, any kind of residency, particularly a surgery residency, in any country is bordering on the inhumane. But guess what? As I was reflecting upon this today and thinking about this today, is that so many sick people are in serious pain and enduring very, very tough times. So what I went through, or any medical resident goes through, it can never be compared to what they go through. So in a sense, that experience also makes us better doctors, as much as people have criticized it. So maybe all those inhumane times really made me become a better doctor. And now that it's not happening like that so much, you know, we'll have to see, you know, what kind of doctors we actually get out of them. I mean, I remember sometimes during residency, and this happened more than once, that I was literally on call for 72 hours. And I was fortunate whether I found a bed and a pillow, and sometimes it was just, you know, a couch. And oftentimes it was just my head on a table with my coffee right next to me, to help me stay awake. Another time actually was interesting was, this only happened once, by the way, but I was actually in the operating room operating for about 36 hours. And well, actually it was 35 hours because I had a nap between 4 and 5 a.m. So it does happen. I was lucky when many people are not, because a lot of other people have it much worse. But this is what's interesting, and this is why it's relevant, is that even whilst I took some of these things personal, even when I got, you know, took the criticisms from other people in a personal way, I always chose to look at the positive end of things. And to the point that one of the psychiatrists in the surgery residency always seemed rather confused when she met me, because whilst everyone else was quite tired and morose, you know, I was always upbeat. And there's a point to this, because I don't believe in silver linings. I believe in opportunity. You know, we talk about your best times, your worst times can become your best times. And that's a choice. But just believing in that is never enough. And that's why intelligent action is what consistently is what we actually need. And so again, this is the whole idea. This is the whole framework of what it is that I do to inspire others to dream again. This is we live in a complex world. Our experience of human beingness is very complex. And until development of coaching, we really didn't have that ability to really get dialed into who we really are. Yes, there are certain books out there, and certainly, you know, in the religious realm, there was a lot of help, you know, with becoming the best person, the best version of yourself. But as the world became much more complex, as we became much more aware of what's going on, or perhaps less aware of what's going on, it became even more difficult. And so that's where coaching is really useful. I actually have five coaches that I can tap into anytime, three of which I actively, you know, work with. And so the important part is this: when it comes to coaching, when it comes to, you know, what's the life that you desire, you've got to look out, you've got to look for them, you've got to discover those resources out there. There's so many books out there, there's so many audio tapes, there's so many events, so many people, you know, past and present, that can actually support you in what it is that you want to do. You know, two of my great coaches, you know, one is Chad Cooper and another is Christiana Carter. Both of them have written books. Both of them are notable in the world of coaching. Chad Cooper just recently wrote in a bestseller, Time Is Not Your Problem, You Are. Christiana Carter has written an incredible book, you know, Experimenting with God. And this recent work that I've been able to do with them really helped me dial in into that goal that was never really quite clarified for myself. And it's an exciting time for me, because the expression that I heard today is that for many of us, with all these ideas, particularly us ADD people, I don't believe in that, by the way, I'm multidimensional, is that if you can imagine an octopus on roller skates, and so this octopus going in all sorts of different directions and not really going anywhere. And so the question that you're going to want to ask yourself is, what is your purpose? What is your goal? What is your end point in life? You know, when you start reflecting or start thinking about that end point in your life, like the last days of your life, the last moments of your life, you know, what are some of the things that you're going to want to be asking yourself? What is it or telling yourself? And that was a big fear of mine as well. You know, oftentimes, you know, in my younger days, so often I was thinking, wow, you know, I'm not going to have enough time to do all the things that I want to do. And so I was fearful of death. But a lot of it had to do with a lack of clarity. And this is what Christiana Carter and Chad Cooper helped me dial into. And it's namely to inspire others to dream again. Mitchell Stefko and Robert Diltz, two brilliant people. Robert Diltz, an accomplished author in neurolinguistic programming, helped me also clarify something about 2 years ago. You know, what was I passionate about? And interesting enough, when I look at that statement that I have for myself, what am I passionate about, clarifies all the things that I do as a plastic and reconstructive surgeon, as a coach, as an integrated energy healer, as a stem cell therapist, as a thought leader, and someone who really looks to develop a platform where he can tap into that collective wisdom and develop this generative collaboration. And that is, I'm passionate for creating change, enhancing life, and developing peaceful awareness. Because again, when you think about it, this is what we want in life. We want harmony. We want balance. We want divine happiness. And that's that concept of divine happiness that I also learned, you know, from Joy Blue, from the Snowline School of Integrative Energy Healing in New Mexico. A lot of work from Eva Pierakis and Barbara Brennan, brilliant people in the energy world that are bringing much more science into this whole concept of energy. You know, our thoughts are energy. And to ever think that our thoughts doesn't affect our body is just being, you know, naive and ignorant of what's really truly happening in our lives. And so with them, the idea of divine happiness was a critical concept that I understood and that we all desire. But here's what's interesting about the desire for divine happiness. However you want to define it, and oftentimes I would talk to people and says, oh no, I don't want that. So they're just not realizing or acknowledging what it is that they want. But to get divine happiness isn't really that complicated, because all you have to do is resolve whatever makes you unhappy. That's all. That's it. That's what you simply have to do. Now, doing that part might not be so easy because we're complex beings. So with the work that I've done in integrated energy healing, I came up with my own epiphany, and that is giving ourselves permission to be human. You know, we have to be responsible for how we show up, for what we do. Because when you think of it, if you're listening to this show right now, think of it this way. You are, in this very moment, the culmination of all your decisions, all your experiences, all your emotions up to this very, very moment. So it's really your fault, and I say that with tongue in cheek, that you're listening to me now. You created this. As much as you want to blame anything else around you, you ultimately made that decision. Even so far as getting in a car accident, as horrible and as it may seem, you know, you brought yourself to that very, very moment. And if you want to talk about cosmic interactions, all that kind of stuff, well, that'll have to be another time, because that's actually a little bit on my pay grade. But that does exist. We are all connected in some sort of way. But that process of integrated energy healing really helped me understand that over the years, you know, we've been traumatized in one form or another, and oftentimes very much unconscious. We've been infected with all these different memes from other people, like Viruses of the Mind, great book if you ever want to read it. And how we get infected by other people's thinking and processing and problems and challenges and judgments if we're not aware of it. I think it was Jim Rohn who said, you know, stand guard to the door of your brain. I mean, it's so easy to be affected by others. And again, that's the reason for my platform here, is to bring brilliant people, interview them, talk about them, and not just the greats. I mean, all the greats are getting all the interviews. It's all the rest of the world, the regular people that I want to bring on this platform, to hear their voice, to hear their magic, so that together we're not relying on the greats to decide what's true for us, but that we can find other people in our communities close by, meet with them, collaborate with them, talk with them, integrate with them, and make changes in our lives and help others as well. And so that's all about self-actualization, self-exploration. It's a big journey. And again, as my coach reminded us today in one of his mastermind groups, you know, it's not for the faint at heart. It requires a lot of courage, a lot of conviction, a lot of determination, a lot of fear. But the rewards are absolutely amazing. Once you get the breakthroughs that you want in life, and that's where you get to be honest with yourself. So many people, you know, are living the life that they were told to live. We call that being at the effect. Perhaps 97% of the world, and this is a statistic not brought up by me, but it's a scary statistic that most people are at the effect of the world around them. And in essence, they're the victim of the world around them. And most of these people will not admit to that, but it's true. Now, we all have the capability of determining our future. And the truth is that in my case as well, I mean, growing up in two continents, five different countries, it really allowed me to see so many different perspectives, so many rights and wrongs in the same place, but they were right and wrong for all the right reasons for the other people. So dissenting, thoughts and ideas and morals and values, but no one was particularly right or wrong. It was just what they were. And so the whole thing here for you is to appreciate it's your choice to become whatever it is that you want to become. You know, when you look at people like the Dalai Lama, their presence, just being in their presence, shows you what's possible for you as well. And the connection, the balance, the harmony, the beauty, the bliss, if you will, that these people have is just remarkable. And why not? That's also possible for all of us. So when I talk about the dreams, start dreaming again. What is that human experience that you desire? Are we human doings? Are we human beings? Again, reminded by my coach Cooper today, he's very much about, being. Also, like Louise Hayes has talked about, reversing the I must do to be, and that no, I must do, then have, then be. Be, have, then do. That's how it actually has to be. So what is it to be human? We have to start asking ourselves that question. What is this human experience, as I like to put it? Giving yourself permission to be that human. Giving yourself permission to dream. More importantly, giving yourself the time to dream. With all the distractions, and I found this recently myself in the last couple of weeks, that I did not take the time to dream. I don't know if you dream at night. Do you dream at night, Sedona?
I do.
Do you remember your dreams?
Yeah, a lot of times I remember them pretty vividly.
Is that right? Do you ever work with those dreams?
Sometimes there are some that I'm not sure that I want to unpack.
Okay. Well, we're not going to unpack any of them. But here's what's true. I'm sure I have my dreams. And that's just the unconscious mind processing stuff. And Sedona is very fortunate to be aware of them, because that's where some of the magic really can happen. But I never remember my dreams. And so I actually have to take the time just to dream. And giving myself permission, not allowing all sorts of other things to get in the way. Because that's that space, that's that time where you get to get really connected with yourself. And so, as I said, beginning here, are you ready to dream? Why would you settle for anything less? Because it's the dreams that create the future that we desire, that we really truly desire. It requires intelligent action. And that's the work that I get to do. So the way that I approach it is that I believe we live in an intelligent universe. However you want to define this universe, some people talk about chaos coming together, coming to reason, or reason going into chaos, expansion, contraction, whatever that is. But yes, we do live in an intelligent universe. A lot of things make sense. And so all we have to do is tap into that intelligence. And again, that's the underlying theme of this platform. Prescription for your transformation, tap into your authentic genius, live the life that you desire by understanding what the intelligence you have access to. It's your brain intelligence, it's your body intelligence, and it's also that energy intelligence. Now, the energy intelligence may be a little too esoteric for most of us. I still have a challenge to understand that part, but there's so many, amazing individuals out there that are very well connected with this energy and clearly show, the reality and the significance that it has in their lives. So we're going to keep it a lot easier right now. And that's that brain intelligence. So what is that really? A lot of great thinkers, thought leaders like Tony Robbins, Wayne Dyer, all these people, it first starts off how the brain functions. And forget about the psychology. I think we get stuck in the realm of psychiatry and psychology, focusing on what's wrong with us versus, you know, what's right with us. And that's why I like the world of coaching, the world of personal growth, the world of personal development, is because the focus is really on two things: what's possible and what's preventing you. And so when we get to be dialed in into what's possible and what's preventing you, that's when the magic really happens. But the limiting factor, and also the reason why I have all these interviews, why I talk to these different people, because my desire is to help people get access to information that they never knew that they actually needed. They didn't even know that it actually existed. I was recently on a mastermind call, and I was sharing with, you know, one of the persons, like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And says, well, I don't get it. Now, why would I want to know something that I'm not interested in? The point of the matter is that my personal experience was this. After 17 years of medical training and then ending up at the top of the medical field, this is not an ego thing. It just happens that as a plastic surgeon, you've trained more than anybody else, but you've also actively trained in every part of medicine because it's relevant for every part of medicine. And so, I was in a place in Florida and got my new home and my three kids already established, was in a very, very great, it was in a good practice, medical practice or plastic surgery practice. I had everything. And I knew that I was really out of alignment. I wasn't exactly unhappy, but I knew that there was so much missing. And interestingly enough, and this is what happens, is that you get into a certain situation that defines you, that creates your destiny. You know, and as this great thought leader, Tony Robbins, you know, it's the moment in decisions, the moment of decision that destiny is made. And this is what happened to me. And I didn't know who Tony Robbins was at that time. Actually, I'm lying about that. I did. But I saved somebody's life. And it's what I do, but I almost missed the mark because I was being pulled away, but I trusted my instinct and I realized, you know, I've got to go take care of this patient, check up on this patient because something didn't seem right. And because I did, I actually saved his life. And this man was so grateful to what it was that I did. And, you know, I just took it as part of what I did, but, you know, and he kept on feeding me these CDs and these books on this guy called Tony Robbins. And I would watch Tony Robbins that night after being on call, you know, all day and doing it, being in the ER and surgery, coming home at 11 o'clock at night. And oftentimes I would have to kind of do my meditation where I just, you know, put the TV on and it was just allowing my brain to process stuff. And I would see Tony Robbins, I think it was the QVC channel. And I really didn't like him. And I was coming from the place, really honestly, of ignorance. Not so much arrogance, but ignorance. Because I didn't like what he said. Because I thought, you know, I'm multilingual, speaking four languages. I'm a European. You know, I'm a cosmopolitan. I'm international. You know, I'm a doctor. You know, what is this guy who's talking all these big words and stuff? You know, what is he going to teach me? And this is something I hear all the time when they talk about Tony Robbins, is that they have absolutely no idea, you know, what this man is capable of. And so many other people out there, coaches in particular, people just don't have a clue what they're capable of doing with you. And so this patient of mine, he showed me all these books and CDs, and you know, I said, I'm sorry, I can't, too busy and everything else. So finally he buys me this ticket to go see Tony Robbins in Tampa, Florida, as a one-day convention. And what was interesting is that I was really upset. You know, I didn't want to go to this event, and I did everything to try not to go there. My plan was, all right, I'm going to go there. I've got my beeper on me. That's when we still used beepers then. And I basically told him, look, you know, more than likely I'm going to be called away and I'm going to have to leave, which is exactly my plan. I always had my escape route ready for me because I didn't want to deal with stuff I didn't want to deal with. Arrived there in a three-piece suit, and everybody else is in jeans and happy and high-fiving and all sorts of things. Like, oh, shit, what kind of Kool-Aid did these people drink? And so the point of the story is that I went into this event not knowing who Tony Robbins is, not knowing anything about the world of personal development, personal growth. Totally reluctant to go into that world. And within 10 minutes of being in that space, my whole life changed at 180 degrees. I discovered what was actually possible. And this is what I'm wanting to bring to other people, because it was that pivotal event in my life that changed everything, that really allowed me to get dialed in to all my dreams and create the successes that I've had over the years. And sometimes, or oftentimes, I just feel like I'm just getting started. It's all about creating the magic and delivering your purpose in this life. And my passion, my goal, again, is to help you discover what you don't know that you didn't know that makes all the difference in your life. Just that one thing. So if there's any coach out there that may not even be that terrific, but gives you that one gem that changes your life, it's worth it. And so that's where we start asking the questions. What questions do we really have to start asking? Again, the quality of questions determines the quality of life. When we ask lousy questions, we're going to get lousy answers. And so part of what the brain does, it asks itself, okay, what is it that I focus on? What does this mean? What am I going to do about it? In addition to that, that's going to determine, you know, our state of mind, whatever meaning we give something, what are we focusing on? But also that language that we use. Interestingly enough, we're very blasé about the use of language. We take it for granted. We totally misunderstand most of what other people say. Don't actually give them the opportunity to actually say what they want to say and really ask and repeat back to them what it was that you really heard. Language is going to determine everything in our experience that we have in the world around us. And we totally take that for granted. So Tony Robbins has put this pyramid, this triad, a physiology focus and language. So this is part of understanding how do we get to our dreams. It's about finding that optimal state of mind, of heart, and spirit that's going to help you get to where you want to go. And unless we take care of that triad as well, it's simply just not going to happen. Or it might happen, but it there'll be too many gaps in it. So another part of that brain intelligence, and this is all about brain intelligence, by the way. Another part about the brain intelligence is how do we define ourselves? What is our identity? I like the work, again, of Jack Cooper. I also like the work of Tony Robbins. And it's all about what roles do we assume? Oftentimes in my coaching, I'll ask people, you know, who's your superhero? And then there's silence. So come up with a superhero. Who would you want to be? And then that little child voice comes up and says, oh, yeah, well, I want to be Superman. And it's exciting because, you know, today I just reaffirmed, you know, one of my roles. And one of my roles is being super dad. And that gets me excited because if I'm that super dad for my three amazing kids, you know, I create an environment, an opportunity, a space that really allows them to blossom and become the best that they can be. Yes, it's that environment that I create for them. And yes, they're going to have to make the decisions for themselves, ultimately. And with the gift of my knowledge and my insights and me being that leader for them is going to help them become who they want to be, as long as they choose to do that. And again, something, you know, I have to get Chad Cooper back on here because I'm repeating some of the things that he just shared with me as well. That everybody has their own standards, and whatever standard is right for them is exactly what's right for them. And that's the important part for all of us. You know, just because you, Sedona, you have the ambitions, you have high standards, and you're going where you want to go, doesn't mean that somebody with less standards is any less than you. And so oftentimes you know, it still comes back to, or all the time, it really still comes back to that identity. How do we choose to identify ourselves? And not by comparing ourselves with anyone else, but comparing ourselves with ourselves, what we were and what we know that we can become. Because I had another conversation with a client today, and there was really about, you know, what are some of the negative identities that you call yourself? And I'm not going to use him as an example, but I know, and I've, at times I would call myself an idiot or pathetic or a loser or a good for nothing. And with the work that I've done over the years, I've come to understand where that came from. You know, my father was an Olympic athlete, brilliant man. He was an incredibly successful businessman in marketing and in a global way. So he had really high standards. And I actually also have high standards, and I got that from him. But my standards were different than his. I had different interests than he did. And for him, I was a major disappointment in the fact that I didn't want to swim. My two older brothers are great swimmers, but when it came to me, you know, it was done. And I think that just established a mindset that he had for me that I was never going to be enough. And I understand why I didn't want to become a swimmer, because when I was a baby, I almost suffocated, asphyxiated. And that's because, you know, I was laying on the side of the bed, apparently, and my parents were gone to this party. They forgot about me. Well, I'm making things up perhaps now. I'm sure they were like in the next room. But that's the underlying reason why I didn't like to swim, because I was afraid to drown. But it's interesting what happens in how we then define ourselves and how it affects all of us. And so that's some of the work that we do with coaching, is really understanding what are the things that we can change? What is the identity that we can change? Without changing our identity, without changing the way that we call ourselves, nothing is going to change. And so I'm the Warren Buffett of finance versus, you know, the guy that can never balance his checkbook, according to my father. And so how do you define yourself? What's the way that, what are you choosing, you know, for yourself? So moving forward, you know, with your dreams, it's just the need to have that vision. What is it that you really want? What's going to make you happy? What's going to get you excited? What's going to get you driven? What's that emotion? And what's going to create that? You know, oftentimes people look at external things, the haves, the money, the house. You know, those all that does is create emotion. The real divine happiness is, who do you get to be? What do you get to do? Who do you get to influence? Who do you get to help? Who do you get to meet? All these things, it's part of that being of you, not the doing so much, the being. So what does that look like? So for me then, that goal is to inspire others to dream again through the coaching, through tapping into the body intelligence, which we're going to tap into next. But it's also heart, it's also spirit, it's also that expansion. But that compelling future is that yours. I oftentimes will talk to clients, and in that discovery, they realize, you know what, they're in the wrong place. They're in the wrong career. They're doing the wrong things. They're only doing the things that they were told to do. There's one particular person who was not a client of mine. She was a senior executive with Chase Bank, I believe it was. And at the tender age, if you will, in her 50s, complete shift. And now she's a shaman and loving it, loving life in a way that she never knew was possible before. Attorneys who turn artists. you know, doctors turning into photographers. And a complete shift in life. It takes a lot of courage. But at the end of the day, you're actually doing what you really desire to do. And that takes courage to discover, to expand, and find out who you really are, what you really want. And of course, having that supportive environment makes it a lot easier. And just because people don't understand you, just because people criticize you, and as I was corrected by my coach, and that is, you know, I was judging them. I was judging them saying, well, you know, maybe they're not evolved in the way that I'm evolved. And that would be unfair. What would be fair to say is, well, they just have different priorities. So oftentimes the way that we look at the world isn't perhaps the best way that we can look at the world. And finding ways to reframe, finding other distinctions, learning from other people, and trusting that, but you still have to verify that that's exactly what it is for you. Because just because something's right for somebody else isn't necessarily going to be right for you. So that's where that sense of discovery is important. Keep on discovering, keep on learning, keep on growing. But a lot of that is going to be put to the wayside unless you've got a functioning body. That's that body intelligence. And it really starts off with a simple awareness is that our body is telling us stuff. And unless you're going to listen to your body, you know, you're going to miss out on a lot of different things. You're going to have symptoms. You're going to have illnesses. And quite frankly, I look at complaints and illness more as a symptom. You know, most doctors, if not all doctors, pretty much look at a disease not as a symptom, but as a cause of all the symptoms. Really, a disease is a symptom of something that's underlying, that's out of balance. And the out of balance has to do not only with your brain intelligence, the stress that we create for ourselves creates an imbalance in our body, but also what we're feeding that body. I mean, we all have heard this thing that says you are what you eat, and it's so true. So not being aware of what's in your body is insane. And I know of very, very few medical institutions in the world today that really focus on helping you understand, helping you know what's really going on in your body. And these are the biomarkers. These are the heavy metals. These are the nutrients. These are the toxins. When you realize that in our world today, and this is no exaggeration, it's probably an underestimation, there's 350,000 different toxins that we can be exposed to. When you sleep at night with your head on the pillow, you're breathing in the fumes, you know, of all the detergents that clean the sheets. So you're ingesting, you're consuming, you're inhaling all these different things. And so the biomarkers are important for you to appreciate and understand, and so that you can change your lifestyle with either supplements or the right kind of nutrition to make that shift, to have your body be more optimal. Working out, you know, giving your body motion, activity, stretching. I mean, there's an insane amount of benefits on that. So much so that it's insane not to do that. And that the sitting disease, and that's a new disease that we're now aware of, that has a higher risk of cardiac conditions, worse so than smoking. And those are people that are sedentary for at least 8 hours a day. And when you think about it, sedentary means sitting in a chair, whether it's at, you know, at the office or in a car or in a bus. I mean, that all adds up. And so the condition is very critical insofar that you're at risk of developing serious cardiac problems. So motion and activity is critical. But the exciting part, and that's the part that I get to be involved with, is the field of adult stem cell therapy. And unfortunately, this is a field that's really out of control worldwide. It's a field of opportunism because people are thinking, okay, this is the way to stay young, which is true. And so whilst many perhaps have good intentions, there are many that don't, and some of which are actually criminal. But stem cells, adult stem cell therapy, is something of the future. Actually, let me rephrase that. Adult stem cell therapy is here right now. And I've got the great, you know, fortune to be working with a great company, which is Okeanos Regenerative Medicine, or Center for Medicine, and which is also part of BBLS, which is the Black Beret Life Sciences, where we get to treat people by acquiring their own fat through liposuction, processing the fat, getting the adult stem cells out of them, and then giving it back to them intravenously with incredible results. I just saw a patient recently who had Parkinson's, and within about 30 days, remarkable changes, remarkable shifts. And we see that in cardiac disease, we see that in Alzheimer's, dementia, MS, as well as, you know, joint disease, rheumatological diseases, as well as other immune disorders. So the body intelligence is something that we need to capture. It's optimizing it by the right nutrition, by the right activity, affected by the brain intelligence, the right mindset, and then finally wrapping it all together, and that's the energy intelligence. And that's that part where our thoughts have an energy. They have a vibration. They affect us. And as we know through meditative experiences, our meditation can affect others. Our energy will affect other people around us, as they will affect us within ourselves. And the genesis of disease is really the imbalances that we have with the brain intelligence, the body intelligence, as well as that energy intelligence. And we can change all of that. So many incredible cures have happened over the years, miraculous cures of people with terminal cancer, completely shifting and being healthy still 20 years later. So all of this has one thing in mind: tapping into that brain intelligence, tapping into that body intelligence, tapping into the energy intelligence, so that you have the ability to dream again, really living that life, making your dreams into reality, you know, finding the resourcefulness, finding the resources, finding the mindset, and then the body and the energy to make it all happen. That's my goal in life. That's why I do what I do. And I'm also passionate about creating change, enhancing life, and developing peaceful awareness through the collaborative work or collaborative wisdom, you know, with so many other people. So I want to thank you, Sedona. I didn't ask you any questions. I didn't put you on the spot today.
No.
But as always, tons of respect for you. I think you're amazing. And you're also one of the leaders that a lot of people can aspire to be as well. So I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, your prescription for your transformation, real people, real conversations, and real success. Being the only one talking today, but next week we'll have some great interviews waiting for you again. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on Radio Star Worldwide each week, or on demand 24/7.